Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
This is the pull bag. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike, and it is 2023, everybody. This is the second week of 2023 here in January. I'm joined once again, the first time in this new year, with Ryan the Indian Flo Merkley. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Hopefully this is less of a... I don't know. We had a... In terms of our fandoms, it's a pretty crappy end to... 2022. 2021 was just the dumpster fire overall. Anyway.
Yes.
And 2020 was even worse. Anywho.
Yeah.
Good times. But anyway, yeah, 2021, rough end.
2022, rough end.
God damn it.
It's because it's all flowing together, dude. It's because the time is meaningless at this point. Years are meaningless. Hours are meaningless. Minutes are meaningless.
So we're just going to restart this entire recording. Hi, I'm on the Ryan the Uneven. Anyway.
You can't even say his name right. Yeah. So we are here, and I've already said enough on this, but we are here dedicating this episode to the passing of the great Kevin Conroy. Because thanks to our pal Scanner51, I got access to the story that Kevin Conroy wrote for DC Pride 2022 called Finding Batman. Kevin wrote this story. It was drawn and colored by J-Bone, lettered by Aditya Bidikar. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. Adaptation editor was Ariana Totaro. The editor was Jessica Chen. And it is called Finding Batman. So before we get too far into the comic, what was, like, talk to me about how Kevin and his performances influenced you over the years.
He's Batman. I mean, we've talked about it on this show and others that you and I have done, and just when we talk to each other. When I read a Batman comic, that's the voice I hear in my head. When I read a book with Batman, that's the voice I hear in my head. And that's not to discredit or, you know, insult or whatever you want to say about the other actors who have done excellent jobs. Like, Batman is one of the roles that, man, we've been really lucky over the years with a lot of the interpretations and the people to have done it. But my God, Kevin Conroy epitomized the role in every way.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as a bad Kevin Conroy Batman. It's not even close. And again, like I said, I feel like the nicest thing I can say about him is that ever since I first heard him on Batman the Animated Series in 1992 on, that is the voice when I read No Man's Land, when I read Nightfall, when I read any Batman story, that's the voice I hear in my head. And I know I'm not the only person to say that, but it's genuinely true.
Yeah, absolutely.
He epitomized Batman. And what's really cool about this story is we see a lot of the reason why.
Yes, absolutely.
And I say, quote, what's cool very tentatively, because, like, ooh, not an easy read.
No, this is a very emotionally charged story. It is his story of how he, I mean, it says it in the title, Finding Batman, how he was finding the character. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, he is the voice of Batman for a lot of us, and he always will be, because technically he redefined the character. Because of the fact that Bruce Wayne is the
Bruce Wayne's the mask. He's the fake person.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce Wayne's the mask, and Batman is the guy. But it's also it's that with his voice, again, why we always hear his voice is because he did two different inflections for the characters.
Right, he's just an amazing job. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
It's very different to, and he did it without any physicality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did it without it being shown on screen. There's no, yeah. I'm not trying to bash him because no. I think, I'm not trying to bash Michael Keaton because I think he did an excellent job, but he's an example of physically, you know, they were able to change him. And obviously, like, there's the costume and the way he moves. Now, part of that is because of the costume. Connery didn't get that sort of benefit. That he just has to sort of change his voice subtly.
Yeah.
And he does it so well. I mean, there's so many episodes you could point out just an amazing performance from it. Everything from early on stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, Heart of Ice doesn't work if you don't have Batman. Like, the way he says, my God, whenever he sees the footage of why, you know, Victor Freeze would go cuckoo. And just he's so good, and he humanizes Batman so well, because Batman's so easy to basically be a parody.
Yeah,
as in, like, he's the infallible, can do no wrong, I hate using this term, but whatever, Mary Sue, where, you know, he's perfect.
And the thing is, over the last, you know, 30 plus years, we've seen that he's not. And that's the point of the character. He's not perfect. He's not he has a, as we'll talk about when we get further into the story, Bruce Wayne and Batman, one is the public face, one is the private face kind of thing. And there's all kinds of emotions that go along with that. What did you think of the drawing style in this?
Perfect for what it is. Like, it's not like any other Batman book.
Right.
You know, and it should be noted, we've talked about this a few times, that it's going to be difficult to draw, or to, in my opinion, it might be more difficult to draw real life characters. And I do, the artwork here is fantastic because it looks, it's clearly Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
and it's a younger Kevin Conroy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is 30 years ago or even longer back when he's, you know, in Juilliard.
Yep. What I love about this is the colors. Like, it's not true black and white. There are color tones to it. The only time you really see black in this entire book, this entire story, because this is one story within the DC Pride 2022 issue. Only two times you see, like, black background white text is the beginning here, Finding Batman as the title, and then when we get to the end. And then the rest of it is, you know,
black is used as shadow. Most of it. It's not a,
It's very much in shadow and very much, you know, all of that. And like you mentioned, we get to the, you know, what I love about this is that
there's color in the lettering in certain instances. And we'll talk about that later.
We will talk about that later.
And by the way, I should note one thing is a lot of this story was recounted by Kevin Conroy on the Inside of You podcast with Michael Rosenbaum, which I highly recommend listening to either with this book / story either before or after. But I mean, I just recommend listening to it no matter what.
That was an amazing podcast. And I... Steve and I got to talk to him in 2012. It's been 11 years since we did that interview, and I go back to that a lot because that was a once-in-a-lifetime, fun, amazing conversation. And I do not say this lightly, and I always preface it every time I say it. it's not to discredit what happened on 9/11. And I know everyone has 9/11 stories, but in my personal opinion, Kevin Conroy has the most interesting September 11th story. And he recounted that to us, and our version of what he told us is my favorite way he's told that story. And it was just an amazing time talking to him. And you are absolutely right. He did recount this story with Michael Rosenbaum. And I loved hearing that because on our interview, we didn't want to get – like we asked him those questions, but like we didn't want to make it the crux of –
yeah.
Of whatever we were celebrating 20 years. Yeah.
He was an amazing storyteller. Yeah. And
absolutely.
That comes through 100% whenever mm-hmm. he is Batman. And the story he recounts here of essentially what led up to the role. And mm-hmm. what led up to the role is him being, yeah. you know, 30 years ago. Going to an audition, and as he puts it, a medium he had no experience in for a character he just knew very little of. And this is the story of what led up to that as someone who grew up in a very religious household with, parents that were divorcing, a brother with issues of mental health issues of his own.
Yep.
And Kevin, who is gay and at a time when it wasn't even slightly socially acceptable. And then not only growing up within that, but then leaving and going to Juilliard and trying to act and be a gay man during the AIDS epidemic in the 80s when nothing was I remember it well. Nothing was known about AIDS.
Yeah, nobody knew.
We thought so. First of all, one thing was it was the gay disease.
Yeah.
You know, it was only gay people who could get AIDS, which we know is just absolute
BS. Garbage. Yeah, it's not true.
Remotely true. And then there was all the stuff like, oh, how do you get it? Can you get it by being near one of them. You know, it was awful. And I can't imagine having to endure that and having to endure it in an industry that at the time was definitely not open to it, as we see in this. So
yeah, we will see it in this. And the funny thing is, and not funny, the irony is, for me, I am not someone who – we grew up in the 80s and 90s. I was 12 years old when Batman the Animated Series hit. And as soon as I heard those voices, the Bruce Wayne voice and the Batman voice, I was like, this is – like we've already said, this is my Batman. This is the voice. But, you know, you take it to any other character, any other – like – Optimus Prime, Megatron, blah, 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 whatever. The way I was raised is the entertainment is the entertainment and real life is separate. And back then we didn't have the internet, obviously. And we didn't, have all this instantaneous connection to whoever these people were behind the voices. And personally, and I don't say this lightly, I cared about the performances. I didn't care about their personal lives. Their personal lives didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was me seeing them or hearing them on the screen doing whatever they were doing. Like, their personal lives were their own things.
And this is something completely different to mention sometime, but there's a lot of things I dislike about the internet and getting to know people and their personal lives and that kind of thing. But I gotta say, getting to know somebody like a Kevin Conroy, or how you mentioned it, what about Peter Cullen?
Yeah.
Or even Frank Welker or these people are just really good people. Kevin Conroy was a great human being.
Absolutely. And
you know, you say that, like, and you know, again, there's no maliciousness here. You say that, you know, I only cared about their performance. I like it more now where I care about their performance and I care about the person behind it.
Yeah.
There's sort of like an added benefit now to it in a certain way.
Oh, yeah, there's an added benefit to it now. But what I'm saying, yeah, absolutely. But again, we were kids. We didn't know.
No, I know. Like, it's kind of nice that a lot of these get to be more than actors and more than – and as we see here, it's because they were more than just a cartoon character to somebody like Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter Cullen could have phoned in Optimus Prime because it was a half-hour toy commercial.
Yeah, he did, thankfully. But
no, exactly. But the fact the fact that these people cared about these characters for whatever reason, Peter Cullen humanized Optimus Prime by imagining, you know, a firefighter or somebody in his family. His brother.
Yeah.
Kevin Conroy humanized Batman because he struggled hiding behind a mask for most of his life, trying to not let people know he's gay, trying to go to the funerals in that community for AIDS, trying to go through that.
Yeah.
And then suddenly one day, you know, after a day of shooting, he gets called the F word for gay people that, you know, comes. He instantly gets reminded that he's got to wear a mask, essentially. Anyway.
So here's the thing. You know, he talks about how his parents were divorcing, his, all that. His
brother is schizophrenic.
Like, I'm an only child. But I'm a child of divorced parents. They divorced, but when I was two, so I didn't really know too much about the whole divorce thing, whatever. But it's one of those things where my dad was still around. My dad was still, you know, whatever. But by the time I was 15, I ended up in, and I've told this story many times before, and this is to tie into what, you know, what Kevin is saying, with no family support to rely on, I had to get a scholarship to any school I hoped to attend, and Juilliard offered that opportunity, and the attitude settled in for me that I was on my own. Well, at 15, I was pretty much on my own because I was in the state's care, you know, state of Kentucky's care and group homes and all that and everything else. So I relate to what he's going through in at least one way. And I think a lot of people could relate to what he various things that he has gone through in this story, and it's just so emotionally charged and impactful, and I'm glad he got this man got the chance to do so many things as the voice actor he was for the character that he was best known for. He played Batman in God knows how many animated projects. He finally, regardless of what anyone feels about the actual, you know, characterization of the character at the time, he got to play Batman in live action.
Don't forget video games too, where
he
has one final performance coming as well too. Yes. But
oh my God. I saw that Batman, trailer and I was like, oh no. Yeah.
His Batman in the video game world as well is it was amazing. More great work.
So for me as a kid, I can't relate to the whole gay thing because I'm not gay. But it's one of those things where as a kid, as a disabled kid in the 80s, where the only thing people could see is that my right hand and foot turned in slightly, they would make fun of me as well for various things. And I'm just going to say it because it is what it is. And I know it's a different thing for what is being said in the comic against Kevin, but I was called a faggot plenty of times. because that was the terminology for insults that was used in the 80s for bullies and kids that didn't understand, like, whatever. It is what it is, and it sucks. It absolutely sucks. It is the most one of the most horrible words in the English language. I wish we could erase it.
Or the R word that gets thrown around, too. That was that another too. One that was always used. And
yeah.
Yeah, and for, and, you know, this probably happened to you, but Kevin in this book then later on recounts speaking with a producer who yes. answered it and said the same thing and yep. then proceeded to tell him that, you know, oh, you're definitely not going to get this job. You know, you could have told mm-hmm. me you were gay. Yeah. Essentially what he's saying is yeah. you could have told me you were gay before this and we could have saved a lot of time because they're not yeah. going to hire a gay guy to, you know, be in their production,
yeah.
which – gee, that's great. Like, it's that's a reminder cool. of how garbage things were. And yeah.
so we have three instances of the word being used.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about with the agent. That's horrible. That's
the final one from his father, which.
Brother.
Or, yeah, sorry.
It's his brother.
Yeah, his brother, Chris. Yeah.
The interesting thing here is you have the drunk doing it first, which is, you know, a drunk actor.
But still a coworker. We talked right. before no, this.
No. Yeah.
You know, we talked before this about, you know, the event this week in the NFL, and these people are all coworkers, and
yeah.
you share a kinship with them, and yeah, to just get cut down like that or reduced to a word.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, as the story progresses past the drunk actor, we see how he approaches his acting and the fact that he has.
He's very meticulous, which is nice.
He's,
and not surprising.
No, he's very meticulous, and he dissected scripts by colors. One color for physical injuries, one color for psychological state of disrepair, one color for his emotional, you know, all of this. And this is where it leads into, hey, Kev, I've got this gig and whatever else. And this leads into, you know, eventually the other part of the story.
That next year, so that's, yeah, where
yeah.
he hears from a producer that, yeah.
And that's where we get to, you know, he goes home and he, you know, what I love is the way the story is told that, you know, he kept the house in Connecticut, you know, his father had willed it to him in his will. He kept it there because it was their boyhood home. His brother Chris lived there. As long as Chris was on his meds, it was fine and whatever else. And he couldn't always get home. But, you know, and he goes, because of the producer incident, he goes home and he finds Chris, and, you know, Chris is kind of like off his meds, and this is where the final insult really kind of hits him, and he calls the medical people and the counselors, and like, yeah, Chris has got to go back into the group home or whatever it is, the institution, let's say. And we get to the point of him going in for the audition, like you said, for a character.
Yeah, that, about a new animated show.
Absolutely. And, you know, we get to the point of, you know, they explained how young Bruce Wayne had his parents murdered in Crime Alley right in front of him. And could I relate? And his reply was, let me just get into the head of the man and see where I go. I imagine myself as a young Bruce witnessing my parents attacked and crumbling in front of me. I saw them lying in their blood in the filth of Crime Alley. I saw my own father lying drunk in a pool of his dried blood. As Bruce, I held them, I comforting them in my arms. As Kevin, I cradled my bloody father as he struggled for life. As Kevin, I held Chris, cradling him as he raved at the voices plaguing him. As Bruce, I felt disoriented and lost, not sure of my identity as my parents were cruelly yanked from me. I felt disoriented and lost, and as an actor whose identity was being yanked from him. Was I my public face or my private face? Had I made too many compromises? My heart pulsed. I felt my face flush and my breath grew deeper. I began to speak, and a voice I didn't recognize came out. It was a throaty, husky, rumbling sound that shook my body. And we see the final page of Yes, I Can Relate. And that page, the background is all in black, and he's in the forefront, and we see a distant shot of him, and then a close-up of, you know, I felt Batman rising from deep within. Oh, damn, I love this story.
Yeah, I mean, there's two...
Yes?
I mean, no, there's two prevailing thoughts I have about it. I mean, the first is... thank goodness for this for him, because it ended up being the role and the break of a lifetime.
Right.
And then, obviously, you know, thank goodness for us, because we got this and, you know, got this man who just absolutely got the character and this version of the character, and then subsequent versions of the character. I mean, he plays him... played him differently in Batman Beyond, where he played an old, essentially broken Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, got the dark live-action Batman. We got every version of him in video games, where he's, again, he is Batman, but he's still a different one, and you can hear there's differences to him. And the other thought I have... is this is why representation matters.
Absolutely.
In comics in particular, but also everywhere else. This was somebody that understood the character because he was in their shoes.
Yeah.
And it's why it's important for comics and books and characters like the ones in DC Pride, because we won't get these performances or writing of these characters. Or, you know, imagine growing up in the 80s or 90s, early 90s, we'll say, and enjoying comic books if you are black or gay or anything like that. Who who do you look up to that you have some form of background relationship with? And, you know, Kevin Conroy found a way with Batman.
Yep. He absolutely did.
And yeah, it's, I don't know, like I said, this is why it's important, because this is a literal representation of what happens, what can come of it. And yeah.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to, you know, no, Kevin, read this story. I know I read a little bit of it here on air, but man, just this essentially is his memoir. And as we've already said, he has one more posthumous performance as Batman. As much as I loved him in the entirety of the DCAU, from animated series to Beyond to Justice League, I mean... all of it is amazing and great and fun, but I think one of my favorite times he was the voice of Batman was when he played him in Justice League Action. I will never forget him. Is it Tim Daly or is it, there was one of the, I think it's Daly. I'd have to look it up, but basically it's him, Superman, and Deadshot. And Deadshot is voiced by, Will Scarlet from Robin Hood with Kevin Costner. God, what, Christian Slater. And they're interrogating Deadshot, and Superman's trying to be the bad cop. And Batman comes in and is like, would you like a donut? He does this really weird, funny bit, and it's Kevin Conroy's voice as a comedic style version of Batman. You don't expect it. And it's like, it's just such a hilarious scene. It's so funny and so great. And the man is sorely missed. you know, like I said, we're recording this and releasing this in January of 2023. It's only been a few months since he passed on November 20th, I think. I forget when the actual, because it was right around, it was literally, it might have, I don't think it was the same day, but it was close to when Jason David Frank passed away as well. I don't know, he passed away on November 19th. Yeah, Kevin died November 10th. Oh, he died 9 days before November 10th. So Kevin died 20 days before his 66th birthday? 67th birthday. He would have been 67 last year. Wow. That's, oh, God. He will forever be Batman, always, and
he has a legacy that I think most actors could only dream of.
Absolutely.
Is going to be remembered far beyond, and new generations keep being exposed to his performance through the video games, through, you know, stuff like, it's not just Batman the Animated Series that still gets recommended as one of the greatest animated shows and one of the best shows to get people into comics and that sort of stuff. The video games too. The Arkham series is still the best trilogy of comic book video games. And I don't know that that's ever going to be broken. Marvel's Spider-Man, we'll see. But in any case, like he's going to live so far beyond this. And there's just so much stuff to remember. His amazing work for Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, yeah.
Or even Return of the Joker. So the animated films from Batman to, you know, again, all of the games. It's
Return of the Joker has a line that he says that I quote all the time. It's at the end scene when Terry is fighting the Joker and Terry doesn't know how to fight the Joker because Terry has never fought someone like the Joker. And Bruce / original Batman's advice is block it out and power on through. And then Terry's like, oh, I like to talk. Because before that,
he says, I like to talk too. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but before that, Kevin said, you know, Joker's vain and likes to talk. Block it out and power on through. And then Terry says, wait, I like to talk too. And then he starts getting in the head of the Joker. But that block it out and power on through, I live by that most of the time if I need to power through something. So the fact that even though that was a line that was written by somebody else for whoever wrote the film, I'm not looking at the information for Return of the Joker at this moment, but that line in his voice, I hear that in my head all the time for motivation. And it's just amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. All right. So this year, inside the pull bag, we're not doing an ad break this time around. I'm going to try to keep this short. But next week, we've got my buddy Joe Reed and I starting the Reborn version of TMNT from IDW. So it's just called TMNT Reborn Volume 1. It's basically issues 101 to 105. At this time of recording, I don't know what episode 508 is going to be. Episode 509, Steve and I are going to come back and talk about the new Star Trek from IDW, Star Trek number 2 and 3. We're talking about those because that's the new book with Sisko.
All right, so about those.
So
you don't want 4 hours of Star Trek?
Please, no, I would have to put in 4 hours of ads. We can talk about that later, but that's the only release in February. And then Steve has been wanting to do this for a couple of years now. Transforming Marvelous March. We're going to go back and do the Transformers Classics. Also in March, we have our 10-year anniversary of this podcast. So 10 years of the pullback coming up March 6th of this year. After that, I don't know, folks. I've got things written down, but if they happen, they happen. If they don't, they don't. I'll have to move things around. I have nothing set in stone right now for the pull bag.
Let me know when you need a Star Trek expert, though.
Right. Steve's a Star Trek expert, too, you know.
So
he is. Stop it. He is. He's more of a Star Trek expert than I am. That's the point, is he's the he's the expert, and I'm the one on the edge of the galaxy there or whatever. So, yeah.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast.
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music, I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
What about the whole secret identity thing? I mean, I trust you guys, but I'm not sure I'm ready to...
Wally West, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne. Show off.
Red hair. It suits you.
You think?
Change now.
That's going to do it for us, obviously, as far as
no,
rating.
Not.
No, it's not. Why is it not?
So the rating is like 99 out of 10. But I don't think it's a coincidence that people who have experienced stuff like this have been able to translate it to some really good issues of a Batman book. I mean, it reminded me a lot of when we reviewed Paul Dini's story.
I was going to bring that up.
He recounted it. Okay, I wasn't sure, but yeah, it reminds me a lot of that and how it's one of the benefits of, obviously, of Batman. It's one of the reasons the characters endured so much is there's so much that people can take from it, and there's different things people can relate to of the character. Everyone's sort of got a story like that in them, and yeah, it's interesting to hear two of the most prolific sort of portions of that part of Batman, of the Batman animated things, and the video games as well, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have stories that, relate to the character.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the fact that, you know, before this, folks, back in episode 350, Ryan and I talked about another Dark Knight story when we talked about Paul Dini's A Dark Knight, which, again, another emotionally amazing, chilling, just wonderful story. And, yeah, simply awesome. And the rating, just like you said, it's off the scale for there really is no rating this. I mean, it's a personal story. How can you? And we both love it.
99 out of 10.
Yeah,
that's fine. No, I mean, it's amazing, and it's, I don't know, it's tough that it's a reminder, frankly, that the Batman character, there's a lot of characters that get kind of deified, or people kind of go, you know, I'd really like to be, or wouldn't being blank cool? No, being Batman would suck.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you get all these idiots with, oh God, the Punisher's another one, but you
have people that are, okay, let's not go into that.
Shut up. You get people who go, oh man, you know, this character X is so cool, and some of them go like, man, I want to be blank. Like, no, it would completely suck.
Yeah.
Being 99% of the comic book characters would be awful.
Yeah. They all have strange and interesting, sometimes
almost horrible. All of them have terrible backstories.
Like, well, right.
How they became them is just awful, or the worst. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very few of them, their story is like, man, I was so happy. Stuff was going so well for me.
Until this happened, and then my life is screwed.
Maybe, you know. Tony for a long time, and then, you know, he gets the heart issue. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, it's a reminder that, you know, Kevin's performance was born out of pain.
And yeah.
A lot of what Dini was able to write,
yep,
is born out of it too. So,
yeah, absolutely. They're two amazing people. Paul is still with us, luckily, and sadly Kevin is not. And I,
but he will live on, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kevin Conroy will live on long after I'm gone.
Yeah, I was gonna say, people are going to experience him, and he is going to be the Batman for people for so many years after either of us are gone.
Absolutely. All right. Before Ryan rambles on into his Punisher rant of why you shouldn't, which you should not aspire to be the Punisher at all, thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Spotify and Apple and any other podcasting client you
choose to use. Send negative feedback to whoever took over at Nightbeat on Twitter. I don't know who did. I don't know.
Noticed that now.
Did somebody?
We talk about that later. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio, @ThePullbag for the show. I am @TFG and Mike. Ryan's not on Twitter anymore. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and The Pullbag as well. Join us next time for I Don't Know Yet. Episode 508 technically is an area code in Massachusetts, and I've been wanting to get someone based out of Massachusetts on that episode, but as of this recording, that has not happened yet, so it might be some other review we decide to do, so I'm not sure. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Ryan the Uneven Flow. We could do a podcast about my sweet custom-made Punisher arcade cabinet.
No, that would have to be on a different show, not on a comic book show, but that could work.
It has lots of comic book games on it.
Okay.
I don't think anybody would want to hear that.
Anyway. Yeah. As always, make your greatest game into comics, and we will catch you next time.
Well, there's always the direct approach.
Snap out of it, Kent, or Joker gets the last laugh.
Ah, love. That's not helping.
What? No, nothing. It's just, you always get to be the bad cop. I thought maybe this time, I could be the bad cop.
All right, Deadshot. We need a name, and we want it right now. Whoops. A little too hard. Sorry, Batman, that's nothing compared to what I'm about to do to you, Deadshot, if I don't get what I want now.
What?
You'd better watch yourself with my partner here. Any little thing can set him off.
Superman, we talking about the same guy here?
Why don't you step out, Batman? I want to have a little private talk with Deadshot here. Let's put a little light on the subject. Sorry. Too bright? That's nothing compared to my heat vision, which would really do some serious damage. So, talk.
You gotta be kidding.
Coffee?
Gah! Don't do that!
I thought you might like coffee. It's good.
Why are you showing me your teeth? What is that?
You're gonna need that cough after I get through with you.
Donut.
Gah! Get that away from me! Is it poison?
It's chocolate. Mmm.
What about you, Batman?
I'm not really a people person. But when you need help, and you will, call me.
Gentlemen, it's been an honor.